Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this first Sunday in 2013, which celebrates the Epiphany of the Lord. Today we will hear the Gospel of St. Matthew and talk about the Word of Life for January. Please stay with us and we'll be right back.
Join the Diocese of Corpus Christi for the 2013 Texas Rally for Life. As dioceses from across the state gather for Mass and a march, in solidarity, to the south steps of the state capitol in Austin to show that Texas is pro-life. This effort will commemorate the 40th anniversary of the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision in 1973, which legalized abortion throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. Since that date, more than 53 million babies have been aborted. You must register by January 11th. For more information, call Tina Villegas in the Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Life, Justice, and Human Dignity at 882-6191.
You'll enjoy a delicious dinner served by celebrity waiters dancing to the music of five-card draw, live and silent auctions, a photo booth with celebrities, and much more. It's the Spirit Center Celebrity Dinner, set for Friday, January the 11th at the Ortiz Center, and it begins at 6 p.m. The invocation will be delivered by Bishop Mulvey. For sponsor or individual ticket information, please call the Fannie Blunzer Nason Renewal Center at 888-7537 or visit blunzerspiritcenter.org. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and Happy New Year.
Thank you, Barbara. Happy New Year, and a Happy New Year to all of our listeners and those of you that see me here and there and comment on the show. And so Happy New Year to each one of you.
Yes, it's so hard to believe that it's here. We've been saying this all along. We can't believe Advent's here, then Christmas, and now
right.
It's the New Year.
Right. And I want to say a special Happy New Year to my my friends at the McConnell Unit in Beeville at the St. Dismas community. It was a great pleasure being with you a couple of weeks ago, and I assure them of many prayers during this new year.
That's
and
wonderful.
Ask them to pray for us as well.
Well, I bet it was a blessing for them, and it sounds like it was a blessing for you also. Well, our gospel this morning is from St. Matthew, so we're going to prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring word to me, that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that had been at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is a gospel that, you know, we always hear in some form the first Sunday of the year, and it's such a beautiful gospel about, well, what we call the three wise men.
Right.
And it was interesting as I was reading about this, and I didn't realize this, that Magi were Gentiles from a foreign land.
Yes, that's one of the great meanings of this gospel, and the word epiphany is that the awakening of all peoples to the promised Messiah. So it was not just to an exclusive group who certainly were the chosen people and waiting for that Messiah, but this Messiah, this Savior, would be the Savior of all people. So the Magi represent for us that calling of all nations, of all peoples, to come to Christ, the newborn King, the one who was sent by God to us to reveal not only God's love to us, but also to reveal us to ourselves of who we truly are, and that is children of God. And so this is a great feast. And as you may know, in other countries, other Christian countries where Christmas is celebrated so well, this feast in some ways is more highlighted than the day of Christmas itself, because it is the day of bringing gifts. Some countries and cultures use this day to really join together as a family and to bring the gifts to one another in commemoration of the three Magi bringing the gifts to Jesus.
Because this is the 12 days of Christmas. It's from Christmas almost, I guess, if we were to count it to this date, it's the 12 days.
Well, and also, fortunately, this year, the 6th is the actual date of the Epiphany. And normally, because of our decisions that are made, it's usually put up a little bit or put back a little bit to fall on the Sunday.
Right.
But this year, the Sunday and the 6th, which is the actual date of the Solemnity of the Epiphany, fall on the same day. So we're in total line with the 12 days and arriving at that.
Well, I guess I never understood as a child when my mother would always keep the Christmas tree up until the Epiphany.
Sure.
Now I understand, because
we're
still in the Christmas season.
Absolutely, and unfortunately, we may have seen it already this year, that the day after Christmas, all the trees are down, the decorations are down, everything's gone.
Right.
When actually the 12 days of Christmas are not before Christmas, but after Christmas. But we start, probably because of our secular and commercialized society, we start way too soon. The actual Feast of Christmas ends with the Epiphany. But the Christmas season really continues on to the baptism of the Lord, which is next Sunday. So I would encourage people to continue celebrating the Lord's coming among us and his presence among us throughout the season.
So there was when they came and they saw the baby Jesus, and of course they were led by the star. But you talked about a little bit about their treasures and the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And those had some symbolic, or they were symbolic.
They certainly are. I mean, they're not just gifts,
right,
you know, from Toys R Us or something like that. But each one of them has a very profound significance, which is good on this day to review so that we can understand. The gold, of course, was gold that was brought to a king. And so really proclaiming Christ to be the king, the privileged person, the one who is sent by God, not as an earthly king or someone to rule the earth or to rule us, but to come as God's representative and to have that through him all things were made. And so he is, in that sense, our king,
right, which
we celebrate on the Feast of Christ the King at the end of our liturgical year. The gold represents that position or that role of Christ as king, as the one through whom all things were made and all things are sustained. The frankincense, which we can also call incense, is particular to worship, and so it represents Christ as the priest, the high priest, the one who would intercede for us with the Father. The word priest is derived from the word pontifex, the great bridge builder, the point between God and the human person. And so Christ is that priest whom God sent to mediate for us this new life that he wants to give us to reconcile us to God and to one another. And so the frankincense really brings out the role that Christ would have, not just a role, the reality that he is the priest. And even us who are priests, we share in that priesthood through grace, through the grace of God. And so our role as priest, as pontifex, as bridge builder, is not to stand in the way, but to facilitate. I'm sure many of us have stood on bridges, whether over a creek or over a big river. In November, I was up in New Orleans visiting our seminarians on the north side of Lake Pontchartrain. The bridge there is like 22, 23 miles long. And we realized that a bridge is not something that keeps us away from or interferes with it, but it facilitates our relationship, our arriving to bring us to that point. And so the priest, Jesus the priest, is the one who came to us and facilitates the relationship with God, the reconciliation. And priests today are not there, should not be seen at all as people who stand in our way, or that, but through the ministry of the sacraments, the ministry of the Word of God, and the ministry to God's people is there to facilitate this beautiful relationship that God wants to have with each one of us.
I think, too, maybe to guide us, help guide us.
Sure. Yeah, if you take off on a half bridge over Lake Pontchartrain, no telling where you'll end up. But
right, exactly.
And the last is the myrrh, symbolizing the one who is to die. So that Christ not only came to live for us, but he also came to die for us. So each of these gifts has this particular meaning, which is prophetic. Mm-hmm. Christ would live as king, as the one who would bring us the word of God, the priest who would intercede for us at the right hand of the Father here on earth and now eternally in heaven, but also the one who would give his life in sacrifice for us. So each of these gifts that was brought by the Magi was prophetic and also symbolic of who this child is.
And then the last two lines of the gospel, you know, they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, even though Herod wanted them to come back, so they departed for their country by another way.
Right. Well, I know we're at the end of our segment, but, you know, one thing that the truth, which Jesus is the truth, will always be a threat to people. And so you see throughout this scene in the relationship with Herod that he was threatened by this newborn child who would be more than just a child, but would be the one who would usher in a new life and could threaten him. And so we find even in our day today the systems of power that exist wherever. The message of the gospel is always a threat to that. And that's why Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And so obviously the Magi were warned, perhaps in a dream, to go and take another route and not to give in to Herod.
Right.
Almost let him find out for himself.
Right, exactly. Well, it's a beautiful feast day today. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will have the Word of Life for January. Please stay with us, and we will be right back. Father Jose Gutierrez will lead a small group on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. You are invited to join him on this memorable trip to visit the holy shrines. You'll have time to meditate and reflect at each site. Your group will depart Houston on April 27th and return on May 7th, 2013. Spirituality and prayerful reflection are the main focuses of this journey. For complete information, call Our Lady of Pilar Church Office, 852-6327. Thursday, January 17th, Bishop Mulvey will preside at a Mass of Thanksgiving for the gift of life, marking the 40th anniversary of the legalization of abortion. If you are planning to attend the Texas Rally for Life in Austin on January 26th, this is a great opportunity for you to prepare spiritually. The Mass for Thanksgiving for the Gift of Life will begin at 6:30 p.m. on January 17th at Corpus Christi Cathedral. For more information, call Tina Villegas in the Office of Life, Justice, and Human Dignity at 882-6191. Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. What has been our tradition for the first Sunday of the month, and of course we're going to be starting in January of this new year, we'll have the Word of Life for January.
Right, and again, this is, you know, a word that is one sentence at a time to be incorporated into our spiritual life, and I remind us that I'm sure you can't absorb it all now, but it's on the website, both at the diocese and here at Kalox, so you find that there to download to continue meditating upon throughout the month. Go and learn the meaning of the words, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Do you remember when Jesus said these words? While he was having dinner one day, some publicans and persons of ill repute, generally scorned as sinners by the public, came and sat at the table with him. As soon as the Pharisees noticed this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Upon hearing this, Jesus replied, "Go and learn the meaning of the words, I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Jesus, by quoting a phrase from the prophet Hosea, shows that he likes the idea it contains. In fact, it is the norm that he himself follows. It expresses the primacy of love over other commandments, over any rule or precept. This is Christianity. Jesus came to say that in your relationship with others, men and women, God wants above all love from you, and that this will of God has already been announced in the Scriptures as the words of the prophet Hosea show. Love is the program of life for all Christians, the fundamental law of their actions, the criterion of their behavior. Love must always take precedence over other laws. Indeed, love for others must be the solid basis on which a Christian can legitimately put into practice all other precepts. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Jesus wants love, and mercy is one of its expressions. He wants Christians to live in this way above all because God is like this. Jesus is telling us that God is first and foremost a merciful God, a Father who loves all, who makes the sun rise and the rain fall on the good and the bad. Because Jesus loves everyone, he is not afraid to stay with sinners. And by doing so, he reveals to us who God is. If God, then, is like this, if Jesus is like this, shouldn't you too nurture the same sentiments? I desire mercy, not sacrifice. If you don't love your neighbor, your worship will not be pleasing to Jesus. He does not accept your prayers, your attendance at Mass, your offerings, if they do not come from a heart that is at peace with everyone, a heart rich with love for everyone. Do you remember the very incisive words of the Sermon on the Mount? Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. These words tell you that the worship most pleasing to God is love of neighbor, and that must be the basis even of worshiping God. If you were to offer a gift to your father while you are angry with your brother, or your brother is angry with you, what would your father tell you? Make peace with your brother first, then you can come and offer me whatever you like. But there is something more. Love is not only the basis of Christian living, it is also the most direct way to stay in communion with God. It has been affirmed by the saints, witnesses of the gospel before us, and it has been experienced by Christians who live their faith. If they help their neighbors, above all the needy, their devotion grows, their union with God is strengthened, and they feel that a bond exists between them and the Lord. This is what gives most joy to their lives. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. How can you live this word of life? Do not discriminate against people, nor encourage it among the people who come in contact with you. Do not leave anyone out, but offer to everyone as much as you can give in imitation of God the Father. patch up small or big disagreements that displease heaven and embitter your life. As Scripture says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. If you act in this way, all that you do will be pleasing to God and will remain in eternity. Whether you are working or resting, playing or studying, whether you are with your children or taking a walk with your wife or your husband, whether you are praying or making sacrifices or fulfilling those religious practices that suit your Christian vocation, everything, everything, everything will serve as prime matter for the kingdom of heaven. Paradise is a home that we build here and dwell in there, and we build it with love. Written by Kiara Lubick.
I think what a beautiful word of life for January to start off our year, talking about love.
Sure, exactly. And it's also in dedication to the week of prayer for Christian unity that many of our divisions, prejudices as human beings, part of those have to do with people of other faiths, of other religions, and it's much better now. But I know in the past it's been so terribly divisive in families and in our country and our world. But if we follow the mandates of the gospel, which is why we are repeating these words of life throughout the year, then we take it little at a time. And this month, of course, is dedicated to the unity and our prayer for unity of all Christians. Go and learn the meaning of the words, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Also following the week of the Epiphany, you know, reaching out and going out to everyone. I really liked that part of, you know, looking beyond yourself and beyond your group and beginning to include everyone. I think all of us have a tendency to stay in our own circles.
Right.
It's that comfort level that we talk about so often. But to really live out the gospel cannot leave us on the sidelines. It engages us to show mercy, to show love to everyone. And that's what expands the human heart. That's what expands the heart to be as the heart of God. I think, as she said here, that one of the catalysts that helps us to do this is the fact if we looked at each person not with just a human eye, but with a divine eye, meaning how does God see that person? It's his child,
right?
As I am. We tend to judge behavior of what we see. God looks into the heart. And so for us to take up that practice, and it is a practice, I think we all need to be aware this is not simple stuff.
Right.
This is the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
to have that ability to look beyond and to see what God sees, the human heart, and then showing that mercy through whatever gesture really brings them to an awareness. If there is bad behavior in their life or bad morals, but it can bring them to an awareness of that and bring them to a conversion of life. So I would really highly suggest that all of us during this month of January 2013 focus on those words. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. What I think is so intriguing and really challenging maybe to the way we were brought up. As she says in here, quoting again Jesus, that if you're bringing your gifts to the altar and there you remember that you or somebody has something against you, go be reconciled first.
Right.
That's challenging to us because we're not always used to hearing that this reconciliation is what really is the basis and the foundation of our relationship with God. I remember somebody telling me once, and it's one of those things you hear at a retreat or in a talk that just kind of stays with you, but you can't pray to God with hate in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And she used the word here to be embittered. You can become so embittered by relationships, but you can't pray to God with hate in your heart. And that's why as we prepare to enter into the Eucharistic prayer, in the preface, we say, lift up your hearts. That's from St. Augustine. He'd say, you can't pray to God without lifting up your hearts. And lifting them up from the human side or the human bitterness, the human anger, whatever is human in us, we need to get beyond that. And that's why this love, this mercy for everyone expands our hearts and prepares us to pray.
It's beautiful, and it's a beautiful way to start our year. I wanted to mention, Bishop, that coming up this Saturday is going to be the ministry conference that the diocese is putting on.
And we're looking forward to it. Archbishop Gustavo Garcia Sierra from San Antonio, who was a participant of the recent synod on new evangelization in the Vatican, will be here to speak to us on the new evangelization and how our communion with God and with one another is really a part of that. And so we really invite people to sign up either on the website, or I believe you can even just show up and pay the extra dollar, whatever it is. But
I think so. So it's going to be 8 to 4 at the American Bank Center, Saturday, January the 12th. And you can go to the diocese website, diocesecc.org, and it's right on the front page, Ministry Conference.
Right.
And get
We'd hope to see many of you there.
Yeah, it'll be a very nice day. And you're feeding all of us lunch. Ah. So that's nice, too.
Right.
So if you could close our session with a prayer and a blessing, please.
Lord God, on this feast of the Epiphany of the Lord, we ask that you bless all of us. Bless those who do not believe at this point. Bring them to Christ and help us to live a life of love and mercy so that others may know your infinite love for them through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.